Good morning, everyone. Welcome. My name is Kara Tupi. I'm the lay leader here at the table. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. This is yet another tender morning for many of us. One of our pastors, Reverend Linda Du Hirsu, passed away last Sunday morning, surrounded by family and loved ones in her home, and we have been moving gently over this last week together. Sandra Lomason, a spiritual director who is a guide, a friend, and a mentor for our pastors, has helped our small groups, which we call kitchen tables, to care for one another as we move through waves of grief together. Those of us who knew Pastor Linda and who love Pastor Linda are in raw places. And we know that her death also brings up the trauma so many of us have felt from other loved ones we've lost, often too soon, and often to the brutality of cancer. Last Sunday, our Bishop Sandy Olawine, led us in worship, and we took in the immediacy of the loss of Pastor Linda. And this morning, we're grateful to welcome Bishop Warner Brown. Bishop Brown is now retired and worships with our community online often. He was the leader who appointed Pastor Linda and Pastor Matt to co-conspire in starting a new church called The Table 15 years ago. So it's fitting that he's here, and he continues to be a mentor and coach for our pastors. So thank you, Bishop Brown, for your care for Pastor Matt this week and for our entire community. We want to give everyone permission this morning to move as you need to move today in worship. We have prayer stations that have been lovingly created by Jan Martinez that are surrounding us, and it's okay to move outside if you need. We know that worship at 9:30 often is quite full, and so please just care for yourself and for one another in this process. We'll open now with a song called Wonder, and I invite you to remain seated and allow this opening song to be a prayer, and we'll join in our voices as we feel led.
Ooh. Love all of God's creation, the whole of it and every grain of sand. Love every leaf, every ray of God's light. Love the animals, love the plants, love everything. If you love everything, you will soon perceive the divine mystery in things. Once you perceive it, you will begin to comprehend it better every day. And you will come at last to love the whole world with an all-embracing love.
See the love by the brilliance.
To hate it again, calling the names again, give our hearts away. I hope they see it, 'cause I want to see it. I want to believe it. Open our eyes again to see our day.
this morning and for the ways you're showing up to be a pastor and guide for Pastor Matt at this time, and also for your care of our entire community of faith. Thank you. We welcome those gathering online at thetable.live and also on our Church Center app. Our online host today is Jay Phoenix. Today's bulletin is available with QR codes for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you'd like to learn more about our community of faith, we encourage you to text the word new to the number on our screen, 916-452-5016. We offer a six-week series called Growing in Faith, which is designed for newcomers to learn more about how we practice our faith here at the table. Registration for our online opportunity beginning March 2nd is already full, but we have added two openings for our six-week in-person opportunity here at the table, which will be held on Tuesday evenings beginning March 4th. Growing in Faith is a beautiful way to connect with others and to learn more about how we practice our faith here at the table. Please sign up today if you'd like to participate. I invite us to remain seated as we continue to move in worship. Kara Tupi has written a song based on our current worship series. The song is called Wandering Along the Hemlines. This is Kara, along with Hannah, sharing for the very first time with us today, Wandering Along the Hemlines.
Darkness, you may find. Thank you so much, Kara. Thank you so much, music team. My name is Bob Martinez, and at this time I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly place sanctuaries as our musicians help us with walking music. I want to remind families that we receive an offering in godly play to support Mustard Seed School, which is a Montessori-based school for children, part of families who are experiencing homelessness. We have loving and professional care for our youngest children just down the hall, throughout worship, and godly play takes place right now upstairs and is designed for children in elementary school, kinder through the sixth grade. Our reading this morning comes from the sixth chapter of Luke, and I'll be sharing from the updated edition of the New Revised Standard Version with minor revisions for more inclusive language. Jesus continues, "But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Creator is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back."
A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Good morning, Table family. It's a joy and a privilege to be with you. But like all of you, I'm deeply saddened by the occasion that's around us. But we are blessed by the reality we have each other. And we have a loving God who knows what we're dealing with, who's been there with many others, and who walks with us, ready to give in full measure and set it right in our lap. These last 4 weeks, the Table family has been enjoying a worship series loosely inspired by Victoria Lourdes' Wild Church, which invites us to rewild the church and shift the paradigm of a disconnected culture towards a new story of interconnection and kindred relationality. She writes, "My personal spirituality is rooted in the Christian tradition, a term I prefer over Christian, which is a label I find difficult to swallow these days. Rather, I see myself as an edgewalker, wandering along the hemlines of the Christ tradition. I stand at the inside edge of a tradition that has brought many people, including me, deep pain, and also brought many people, including me, deep joy and meaning. There have always been edgewalkers, those who don't follow along the status quo, who didn't swallow the version of religion offered by those on top of the hierarchy as the only way. I know somebody like that really well. His name is Jesus. Parker Palmer is a theologian, a follower of Christ that I admired a lot. He shared an idea I want to lead into what I say this morning about the theme compelled by a wild God. The soul is like a wild animal, tough, resilient, savvy, self-sufficient, and yet exceedingly shy. If we want to see a wild animal, the last thing we should do is to go crashing through the woods, shouting for the creature to come out. But if we're willing to walk quietly into the woods and sit silently for an hour or two at the base of a tree, the creature we are waiting for may well emerge. And out of the corner of an eye, we will catch a glimpse of the precious wildness we seek. I've been privileged during my time in ministry to serve and travel to different parts of the world. My first service as a bishop was to serve the four states that cradle the Rocky Mountains. So it was my job to go to Yellowstone. And I loved the wilderness that I saw. I too, like the other naive ones before me, wanted to get out and see the wild animals. But I had to learn, if you're patient, they may allow you to see them. And if we go into that space where the bears and the elk and the moose and other animals appear, it is indeed a wide and beautiful space. But it is not just for us to consume. We are invited to embrace the wonders and wideness of God's mercy and see what God can do. If we want to see those bears, we have to know that they don't necessarily want to see us. We think we are afraid of bears. We should know they are afraid of us. They've heard stories of what people do to bears. wandering through a woods, as I was one day when we went for my first time fly fishing. And as we headed towards the stream, I was taken aback by these large signs that saying, "Beware, grizzly bears are here." I've seen the little black bears, and I know how much damage they can do. The idea of a bear that's bigger than me and faster than I ever was, running after me was terrifying. And I'm supposed to learn to fish? Especially when that's their favorite diet. But no people were harmed, and no bears were harmed. For we wandered into that space respectfully, knowing that if we saw a cub, somewhere there was a mama that would be fearful for her baby. So, pilgrim, don't be stupid. I learned that moose are very majestic animals. They're large, very large. But I also learned that moose are very afraid of people. And if a moose smells you or sees you, beware, because they're very fast and they will come after you because they don't know what you're up to and they don't want to be harmed. So, as we move into the spaces where people are, we need to be mindful that people are something like those animals. Fear, uncertainty, insecurity can make all of us dangerous to be around. But it doesn't have to be so. We have a calling to live in a way that engages nature, people, and all other wildness in ways that make for peace. And our secret power is love. Serving in Africa these last 4 years as an interim bishop, people would always say, "Oh, you're in Africa? Do you go to the jungle? Do you see the animals?" And yes, I've seen animals and go to jungle. And it's not unlike the animals here, just bigger and different. But that same economy of respect and mutuality has to be in place. I was struck one time we were going to a meeting, and it was a very interesting meeting. But even before we got there, I was struck by, this is different. We went into a national park. The animals are there. There are lions and elephants and all kinds of things in that national park. And as we were driving along to the hotel we were staying at that's in the national park, and I was looking at the jungle on my left of the road, then I turned to the right, and there's a village there where children play and people live. And I quietly thought to myself, and why did the lion cross the road? But the people have lived there for a long time, and they have found a relationship that works for them. I would learn a little bit later that that works for a lot of people, because at the hotel, it was very interesting. As we were sitting on the lawn, enjoying the beautiful scenery, preparing for dinner, to look back towards the hotel, between us and the hotel, this huge elephant comes walking through, looking around, looked towards us, and everybody said, "Now, if she runs this way, which way are you going to go?" But the elephant looked, noticed us, and went on about her way. I thought that was enough until I learned that I had missed the hippo that swam in our pool. There is a mutuality when we leave space and respect each other. Victoria Laura's, our guide for the journey of these last 4 weeks, says, "I'm not suggesting that we just accept that children playing outside might get eaten by a mountain lion, so we shouldn't do anything to protect them." That was particularly striking to me, because for a time I lived in West Sacramento, and I knew close to my house there are mountain lions, and they love the walking trails as much as I do. So I have to time my journey. Part of aliveness, Lourdes continues, is a commitment to stay alive. But when our own lives are the only lives that matter, we mess with the rules of reality. Love is only present when we love self at the same time we love the creative world, we love the neighbor. Love is an equilibrium between our own interests and those of others. When we step out of love, we remove ourselves from the conversation and we are no longer participating in the presence of Christ. Our mentality of privileged status, meeting our own needs without considering the needs of others, removes us from the circle of life, which eventually kills the whole system. What she is suggesting is that we come out of our castles of privilege and rejoin reality. Reality is a system of reciprocity, give and take, not just take, that makes it possible for the life of the whole to continue, to thrive and evolve. Remembering that we are connected to a larger story, even if we really don't totally understand it, it is a radical act of trust. Really, radical. Given how most of us have been reared to think and act in this world, what we heard in the scripture lesson is a radical manifesto. I know I've been to church a lot. Bibles are wonderful, best kept on the coffee table. But when you open it and read it, it gets scary. And when you try to live into it, it gets powerful. I say to you that, listen, Jesus knew what he was dealing with. There were a whole lot of people there. And he gave his message, but I'm not talking to everybody in the room. I'm talking to you that are listening. Surviving in the wilderness requires looking and listening and paying attention. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. But I'm a fill in the blank. Those people are terrible. If you love those who love you, what good is that? Even the worst people love the people that'll suck up to them. If you loan somebody something, don't be standing on their doorstep the next week with your thugs to collect your money. If they don't give it back to you, forget about it. What? Did I read that right? and don't judge. And you won't be judged. Now I know where our beloved Pastor Linda got it from. You can't mess it up. Because the one who loves us all the way. Wow. Laura declares that she's tired of the tame God, the boxed in Christ that many people are peddling as Christianity. It's distorted by a sense of patriarchy. It's distorted by wanting to control other human beings that tells all of us, if you want to get it right, be like me. She says she's yearning for a wild God that compels her to a full participation in the miraculous dance of life, deepening the meaning in Jesus' core saying, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. In other words, take courage in throwing yourself fully into this challenge you receive. Don't live small. Light is not possible without darkness. Love is not possible without grief and loss. Life is not possible without death. I know this, she goes on, with my head. I don't like how death is built into the system. Sometimes it makes me question the whole idea of a compassionate God, but I'm discovering a deep acceptance of death as not just, oh, well, it's part of life, but a necessary and even beautiful part of life. I want to feel what Walt Whitman said, all goes onward and upward, nothing collapses, and to die is different from what anyone supposed, and luckier. Even through the life and death story of Jesus, we repeatedly tell in our sermons of this connection of life and death and what Christ has done for us. But ultimately, to be opened up to the word that we are living in this space. Laura points to a theologian and a botanist that helped her understand the interplay of life and our calling. Andreas Weber was his name. And he explained, just as cells cannot survive, casting off their substance and building themselves anew in every moment, by cultivating death in all their actions, we too will only be enlivened when, in the face of the terrors that this life holds in store for us, we discard our illusions and break open the emotional armor that we put on that supposedly protects us against fear, but in truth simply causes our souls to be hardened in prisons. Invulnerable. Untouchable. Facing the legitimately terrifying reality of death is not easy. But denying it and holding behind illusions of control and prisons of self-protection only serve to disconnect us even more from full participation in the great conversation
of life, to repair the damage we've done to our relationships with the earth, our relationships with each other, our relationships. We are invited to allow our hearts to break for the loss and to be opened up again to love. We will see death again. We will know disappointment again. We will know pain again. But we are invited back into the story of love that says we are not alone. We are connected to each other. We are connected to every human one on this earth, even the ones we can't stand. And we are connected to those animals, the big animals like the moose, and the little animal like the rat. And I don't know which one of those two will make me run faster. But I have to remember that the same God who heard my mourning cry looks at that big, ugly moose and that scary little rat and says, "Oh, aren't they cute? Because I made them." We are invited, Laura would tell us, to become like giant sequoia trees, who can only fully reproduce with the assistance of a wildfire. The little trees grow from seedlings in the midst of the old ones, the ancient ones that are gone and the ancient ones that are still there. And when the fire comes, it cracks open the seeds and the new trees can grow. And they're sheltered from all the vicissitudes of the forest in the meantime by the big trees. Embracing the mystery of life and death into new life, let us also offer our own lives to others in sacrificial love. It is not just the moral, religious thing to do. It is the way the whole system of life evolves and grows. Mary Oliver, in her poem, "So Every Day," says it simply. So every day, I was surrounded by the beautiful crying forth of the ideas of God, one of which was you. This wild God is calling forth the wildness from us. And in the process, we will lose some who have journeyed with us. And they become a part of what the scripture speaks of as a great cloud of witnesses. We don't see them, but they see us. And like fans at your favorite sports stadium, they're cheering for us to do good. Steve Garness Holmes, pastor I knew during my Montana days and who's loved by Pastor Linda and Pastor Matt and by me, offers this poem that I close with, "Agonizing Love." Losing someone we love, dying before our eyes, before their time. We are caught in between wishing the past and dreading the future. So we come into the present. We stop and we grieve. If it feels we can't go on, it's because we haven't yet freed our sorrow. So we grieve. We let what is inside out. We bear witness. We say the unsaid, we unburden, and there, shattered, weak, bereft, and pierced, the beloved meets us. And then we make our sorrow into life, in tears, in song, in hands taken, in art audacious, in dance unbound, as if flinging our hearts, this lack, this breach in us, gives birth, becomes a new creation. We pause in our Gethsemane so we can go on to the agonizing love we are called to. Our tears become our strength, flowing out into the earth. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh.
God, you dwell along the hymn lines. You meet us at the edges, but we try to tame and we settle for a boxed-in Christ.
Forgive us, we pray.
Instead of facing the legitimately terrifying reality of death, we deny it and hide behind illusions of control and prisons of self-protection.
Forgive us, we pray.
You long for us to love the whole world with an all-embracing love, but we use religion to maintain the status quo.
Forgive us, we pray.
Friends, our God is a wild God that compels us to full participation in this miraculous dance of life. Our wild God invites our hearts to break for the loss we feel and the brokenness we encounter in the world. And facing this bareness, God opens us to love again and invites us back into the love story. God's reconciling love is always already leading us into communion, into common union. Nothing at all can separate us from the love of God, embodied in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you. And we invite you to turn and share a symbol of peace with those near to you. Peace with you. Thank you for making us laugh. We needed to laugh. It is right and a good and holy thing to give our praise to you this day, creator of the cosmos, liberator of creation, mystery of the divine. You unleashed your creative power and a world blossomed. You bestowed upon every living thing life and breath, color, and movement. No matter how many battles we wage within and between ourselves and against you, your promise, vision, and gifts of peace and abundance continue. And so we lift up our voices in celebration of you, three in one, the divine dance in which we live and move and have our being. Invite us to pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples, and we encourage you to name and address God in the language which is most dear and true to your own heart. Our Mother who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour out your spirit on us gathered in this moment. Pour out your spirit on the gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and love of Christ. Make us through them, Christ's body, alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. I invite you to be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love. In the United Methodist Church, the table is open to all people, and all truly means all. We encourage those at home to light a candle and gather bread and juice in whatever form you might have. Please know that whether you're here in the sanctuary or online, you do not need to be a member of this church or of any denomination to participate. We're all God's children, and this is God's table. We're in this divine dance together. In short, you cannot make a mistake. We'll have two stations here in the front of the sanctuary and one in the back of the sanctuary. Each station has freshly made bread and gluten-free crackers in the center and juices in the cup. After breaking off a piece of bread and dipping it into the juice, please make your way around the sides to pray with the candles for as long as you might desire, or return to your pews when you're ready. Let us move together with tender care in this divine dance.
This is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you. This is God's love poured out for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Body of Christ, and bread of life broken for you, Bishop. This is God's love poured out for you. Thanks be to God. Loving God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery through which you reveal yourself to all of creation. In this bread and cup, may your peace make us one and call us to love one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, our hope. Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we invite you to join us in giving generously to support the ministries at the table. The generosity of our community allows us to lean in to God's unfolding call on our lives and align more deeply with God's healing love and justice in the world. Rise Up Bread is available just outside the sanctuary doors, and our musicians will send us out this morning to a song by Rachel Kurtz. This is Make a Difference.
You gave your life to make a difference. You gave your life to make a change. You welcomed us to your table. You're calling us to do the same. I want my life to make a difference. I want my life to make a change. I want my life to do some good here. I want my life to make a change. Working side by side, or out or inside, together we can make. A lot of not any. Together we can make the change. I want my life to make a difference. I want my life to make a change. I want my life to do some good here. I want my life to make a change. Crossing the great divide, joy and peace will abide. Together we can make the change. Jesus is our peace, all fighting will cease. Together we can make the change. I want my life to make a difference. I want my life to make a change. I want my life to do some good here. Sunshine with the rain, we're the joy with the pain, we're the change. You heal the sick and fed the poor, love the prophet and the whore. Through us you will do more, you're the change. Oh, I want my life to make a difference. I want my life to make a change.
physical, just the